Welcome back to the Tales of Two Cities podcast. I'm Brad Bailey.
And I'm Matt Beagle, and we're your hosts for this week's episode, the season one finale of our podcast. We'll be discussing life and loss, stories about people moving on when something or someone important is taken away.
We'll hear about a lost Oakland bus stop so important to bus riders that they're trying to bring it back.
So I'm working with community advocates to get a bus stop restored for a community in Oakland that had it taken away.
And we'll listen as some surprising guests in the East Bay share their favorite memories of Prince.
We'll also hear the story of an Oakland woman who lost her son to gun violence, but now works in the community to assist other families dealing with loss.
What they need to understand is our youth, our kids need things to do.
Finally, we'll tip our hats to this green and blue planet, with families and the animals, of course, at the Oakland Zoo's Earth Day celebration.
Why are you here?
To see the animals.
Because we're celebrating Earth Day.
All of that's coming up on the Tales of Two Cities podcast.
In Oakland, AC Transit Bus 51A runs from Rockridge down Broadway to Alameda. Now, the loss of one bus stop on the 51A line has become the center of a political battle and an effort to bring it back, Bonnie Chan reports.
The area at Broadway and 30th is known as Pill Hill. There's Sutter Alta Bates Medical Center, oncologists, eye doctors, and lots of other medical offices. Chris Peoples had a stroke 5 years ago. He relies on the bus to get to his doctors.
So I do not walk comfortably or easily. And so now when my eye doctor is further up 30th Street and have to see them every 6 months or so.
Then a year ago, the bus stop at Broadway and 30th Street disappeared without any public discussion. This troubled Peoples for a number of reasons. See, in addition to needing the bus, Peoples is also board president of the AC Transit bus service. And even he couldn't do anything about it.
And so I end up having to walk down from the street that Summit is on. And then when I'm coming back down here to where I work, I end up having to walk all the way down to 28th, which when you've just had your annual physical is a pain.
So what happened to the stop exactly? Well, when a new grocery store called Sprouts planned to open in the neighborhood a few years ago, they proposed moving the bus stop from the northwest corner of Broadway and 30th to the southwest corner. The developer even agreed to pay for improvements, like a new bus shelter. Both the city and AC Transit liked the idea. The new location was safer and more efficient. But it turns out a community bank called Summit Bank is on that southwest corner. And bank officials fought hard against having a bus stop in front of their branch, citing security concerns. So city officials, and no one would name names on the record, removed the stop altogether.
There have been a lot of objections, both in terms of the harm that's caused to community members by not having that bus stop, but also to the fact that it was taken away without any public process. The council didn't authorize the removal.
Rebecca Kaplan is Oakland City Council member at large. She says the stop served bus riders going to doctor's appointments and also folks heading to the nearby grocery outlet and CVS, a mostly older, low-income population that relies on public transit.
And now we have, you know, people with disabilities struggling to get to medical services. We have seniors trying to schlep groceries long distance to get to the next nearest bus stop.
Over the last year, bus riders and advocates have raised a ruckus. Kit Vack is a transit advocate who helped organize protests in front of Summit Bank.
We gave the bank Christmas cards that said, "Don't be a Grinch, Summit Bank, bring back our bus stop." And the responses that we got from the bank was they'd call the police on us.
Last Tuesday, at a Public Works Committee meeting, the city finally committed to reinstate the bus stop, though it remains to be seen how long that will take. Meanwhile, Summit Bank hired crisis management pro Sam Singer to help make the case that the stop go somewhere else.
We would continue to oppose the bank being the place for the bus stop. Where we want to see it be is where it's been for 100 years, which is right in front of Sprouts, where it ought to return.
For now, transit advocates say Their goal is for the city to have a Department of Transportation in charge of decisions like this, with oversight, to make sure people who rely on public transit don't lose out again. The City Council has already approved funding for the new department, and Oakland City officials are now working on recruiting a Director of Transportation. Until that happens, bus riders will wait for the city to return their missing bus stop. For Northgate Radio, I'm Bonnie Chan.
The death of Prince on April 21st sparked worldwide feelings of mourning, but also appreciation for the singer-songwriter who brought us Purple Rain, 1999, Little Red Corvette, and so, so many more. So, Brad, you're a child of the 80s. what was your reaction to Prince being taken away?
Well, you know what, Matt? You know, those of us of a certain age or generation, in a sense, I'm labeled as Generation X. 80s were junior high and middle school and some of those really formative years. And people like Prince were definite parts of that.
Any favorite memories of listening to Prince, dancing to Prince, or...
Well,
did you ever see him live?
Sorry. I've never seen him live. My first concert I think I saw was Janet Jackson, but that's
another story.
That's another story. I remember Prince when I'm from Georgia, and we have every Friday night we went to the roller rink. So our thing was to go to the roller rink. So while in the roller rink, I don't think I was a very good skater, so I would sort of just sit to the back and watch. But Prince would be sort of playing as the, you know, the boys and girls would sort of be doing what eighth grade boys and girls do in terms of getting to know each other, so to speak.
So tell me about this piece that we're about to hear.
Okay.
Tell me, where did you go and who did you talk to?
I went to downtown Oakland to ask people to share their favorite memories of Prince and their favorite songs. I also attended a fundraiser where some notable names, including a famous Oakland icon, had some words of respect. Prince Rogers Nelson died April 21st, 2016. The Paramount Theater in Oakland gave a tribute to the music icon on its marquee, where only a few days earlier, he gave one of his last concerts. We went back to downtown Oakland to talk to residents about what made Prince so special. We first talked to David Smith.
Well, I remember the Purple Rain on vinyl. My brother, all his friends and me, we'd sit around, listen to that all day, every day. And, of course, watching the film Purple Rain, but definitely a heavy heart on the loss of one of America's finest artists.
We then ran into Siobhan Sullivan and Letitia Hosea. Siobhan had some very candid insights about the style of Prince.
Just his sense of style. The man was awesome. Yeah, just his uniqueness. Very unique.
What about him made him unique?
Most definitely his sense of clothing. Just him being able to be himself and not go ahead and portray somebody that he wasn't for a population, you know? He did him, and everybody loved it.
I want to hear your best Prince song rendition.
I got to, like, sound like him, too.
You can sound however you want.
I'm only singing a couple words because that's the only song, like, I know this song and I love it. But he was like, yeah, I would die for you, yeah. Tony, yes, you want me to, you. I would die for you.
Thank you very much. That was awesome. Her friend Letitia then gave us her take.
He was like mostly about life, and you could tell that, you know, and especially in the movie that he had did, you know what I mean? Like, especially what he went through, that's something, like, you could relate to, you know? And one thing I do respect him for, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the movie, I don't think he did any drugs, you know what I mean? And that's a good thing, because most people that you know that do music, it's always sex, money, and drugs, and alcohol, and, you know, but with Prince, it was just like, I'm high off life. My guitar is my life.
Letitia then sampled her rendition of Purple Rain.
Oh my God. Purple Rain, Purple Rain. And that's all I know.
Drop the mic. The UCSF Benioff Children's Hospital recently hosted their annual Notes and Words concert. DJing the after party was the one and only rap icon.
MC Hammer.
MC Hammer told us his thoughts on Prince as it relates to Oakland as a high-profile music destination.
We have high-profile events here. I mean, the same place that you're in right now is one of the last concerts that Prince did on Earth. So he was here, right here in the same area, right around the corner, 10 days or 12 days before he went to heaven. So you don't get any bigger than Prince, and Oakland was and is one of his stops. We have a tremendous legacy of the best musicians in the world, the finest musicians, finest activists. It's a great city.
This is Brad Bailey for Oakland North.
This next piece, produced by Charlotte Jack Mart, is about an Oakland woman who lost her son to gun violence, but now works in the community and with the Oakland police to provide services to other families going through loss.
Terrell Reams was 23 when he was shot in Oakland. His mother, Antoinette Papai Johnson, believes it must have been robbery. The day before, she had given Terrell money to go shopping for his three-year-old son.
Terrell was so friendly, he would get in a car with anybody. He loved everybody, so he thought everybody was trustworthy. And my first thought was, it was somebody Terrell knew, because Terrell get in a car with people. So my hurt came was, why would somebody kill my child when I know my child didn't do no wrong?
Antoinette still doesn't know what happened that night in 2013. There were no witnesses, and the case is still open. The police told her that Terrell bled out. If someone had gotten to him in time, he could have been saved. Terrell's mom doesn't blame the police. In fact, she helps them. She co-founded the Oakland Lives Matter organization.
What we do, we go out and speak to the victim's family and ask them what do they know. And if they tell us something, we go tell the police, you know, you need to check in these areas, check this, you know, street person, or, you know, we try to help the police. So I think the police doing a good job.
Since the death of her son, Terrell's mom has been active at the local level. She has also been advocating for gun control and strict background checks all over the country. Access to guns is just part of the problem, she says. Parents also have a big responsibility.
It's not the neighborhood that's bad. It's just that it's not righteous parenting on people teaching their kids the guidelines of how to be successful than to be out robbing and killing or selling drugs, and then that leads to killing. So it's really not the neighborhood, it's just the parenting.
Antoinette herself became a mom at a very young age, 14, but she wanted her kids to have a different life.
I told my kids, don't follow my footsteps, do some other things. Terrell was a motivated speaker for Islam. So Terrell been traveled around the world speaking. So Terrell was out in the community, and when he, like if he would have met you, he would have told you he was a Muslim, and he would have talked to you about Islam. People meet Terrell. Terrell's a friendly, outspoken person. So he likes all kind, not just blacks. He likes everybody. Mm-hmm. Very, very friendly.
Terrell kept busy, but his mom says a lot of kids do not have the same opportunities.
What they need to understand is our youth, our kids need things to do. So when it's summertime, they need more activities, more jobs, and that can solve a lot of killings too. And now I was like, one point I was asking the police department, won't you get some interns to come in and work with you guys? Go on the streets and grab some of them youngsters, grab some of them guys and bring them in and let them intern and work with you guys so they can get the feel of what Oakland police officers do.
Antoinette is still grieving, but she's also prepared to forgive the person who killed her son.
Angry I was. Did I want revenge? No. From day one, I got a lot of people, what you want me to do, how you want to handle this, what's the results? And like I told them, I don't want to know who the person is. I don't care. If that person was to come and say he killed Terrell, I will hug him, give him a kiss, and tell him, go live your life, do something different, change your life. I always said I did not want no one to revenge my son's death, and I didn't want to know who did it. Reason why, I wouldn't want no mother to feel the pain that I felt.
Today, Terrell's son is 7 years old. He's being raised by his mother and two grandmothers.
I get him every weekend. That's a part of Terrell, so I'm going to be there because that's a part of Terrell.
For The Justice Show, I'm Charlotte Jacquemart.
That story originally aired on The Justice Show on KALX. You can listen to the full version on the UC Berkeley School of Journalism SoundCloud page.
We've been talking a lot about loss, and perhaps some of the biggest potential losses people are trying to avoid involve the environment. From the polar ice caps to endangered species, preservation is the name of the game. Oakland residents recently took a day to celebrate Mother Earth, Erica Alvero reports.
It's April 23rd, the annual Earth Day celebration at the Oakland Zoo, and the white-handed gibbon won't stop shrieking as it swings effortlessly from branch to branch. Zoo personnel are stationed around the park, teaching visitors about conservation and the animals they see.
My name is Amy Gottlieb. I'm the conservation director at Oakland Zoo. Earth Day is one of our biggest celebrations at the zoo. It is a wonderful opportunity to spend the day with all of our conservation partner organizations and associates around the Bay Area. Also, it's an extremely festive day, so we're really just having a very good time.
This year, the event is sponsored by Taiwan, the Heart of Asia, a group that is promoting travel to Taiwan. Here's Emily Chen from the Taiwanese Tourism Bureau.
We are here to promote Taiwan because we think Taiwan is a great place with beautiful nature and a lot of different species, animals, and also great food. So we want to promote this to all the visitors to have them to go to Taiwan, the heart of Asia.
Other animal-oriented organizations have come as well. Amanda Brazil is here with the Animal Rescue Foundation, bringing dogs that are up for adoption. One dog, Ventura, already has found a home.
And she actually just got adopted by a little family who's in the zoo, and then they're going to come back and take her home as soon as they get done. I told them, I'm like, you probably didn't come to the zoo and expect to bring an animal home with you.
Visitors stroll around the park, looking at different presentations and performances, and, of course, the animals.
My name is Anna Angwas Wong.
Maya.
Anya.
Why are you here?
To see the animals.
Because we're celebrating Earth Day.
I met Rebecca Calderon by the giraffe enclosure. Why did you come today?
I came because I'm actually a student at Napa Valley College, and I was asked to do a project on a specific animal or whichever animal I chose, and I chose giraffes, so I had to come and observe them for at least an hour.
The zoo staff say they hope Earth Day will last all year long, a wish that visitors echo. What does Earth Day mean to you?
It's a call to me and my family to actually celebrate it the 365 days of the year.
Not only today, but we should do it every day. We should take care of the Earth.
We're all here for one cause, and it's the Earth. And sometimes we don't pay attention to it as much as we should. And I feel like Earth Day is one day where we can like be more aware of it and know what's going on in our Earth and how to keep it safe and keep it clean.
Thanks for tuning in for our first season of the Tales of Two Cities podcast. Our podcast is a production of the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism.
We're off for summer break, but we'll be back again in the fall, bringing you a new group of student reporters.
Do you have some thoughts you'd like to share on our first season or ideas for future shows? Let us know. Comment on our SoundCloud account. You can write to us on Facebook, or you can tweet at us.
Our producer this week is Catherine Rose. Our music is by Kevin McLeod. You can listen to our podcast on oaklandnorth.net, richmondconfidential.org, and on SoundCloud. And you can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. I'm Matt Beagle.
And I'm Brad Bailey.
Have a great summer, everyone. Remember to wear sunscreen. See you back in September with more Tales of Two Cities.